My friends, these are the ancient words of the psalmist who says, "We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds." Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks for that great and glorious love which prompted the gift of your Son Jesus to share our human nature, to take upon himself the experiences that we ourselves have to face in our lives, even the experience of death, where he triumphed over the powers of darkness and emerged as the risen and ascended Lord of the universe. We pray that all of these wondrous things would impress themselves upon our hearts and minds today, but that they would never neglect the profound love, and pray that we might be led more deeply into an experience of that as we gather together as your people and as we contemplate Jesus' sacrifice. We pray, Lord, that with this in our minds, we would never take your grace for granted, that we would never take your forgiveness for granted, that we would always be mindful of the cost and know that every time our sins are forgiven, there was a depth of pain and sacrifice to enable that to happen. So we pray today that you would come to each one of us and cover those things which we feel separate us from you at this time, and enable us to leave this place knowing that we have been forgiven, that it's possible for us to be renewed in the depths of our being, and that we can go forward in the flow of your kingdom to represent everything that's good and honest and true. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, let's turn to the little booklets. I'm sure that perhaps we've run out this morning, but I hope you can share with someone. And we'll look at the very first psalm, which is on the cover page, Psalm 13. And we'll read this in the usual way. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?
How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me?
Look upon me and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death.
Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over them, and my foes rejoice that I have fallen.
But I put my trust in your mercy. My heart is joyful because of your saving help.
I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt with me richly. I will praise the name of the Lord most high. O God, we carry in our own bodies the death of our Lord Jesus,
that likewise we might manifest his life.
Let not our spiritual foe prevail against us, but with the morning light raise us up from the sleep of sin and death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's read in Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 27 and at verse 15. Matthew chapter 27 and at verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" But he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message, this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." But Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Barabbas. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's the kind of thing that if you're a student, you probably saw it, because it's usually on the middle of the day on Channel 4. And that's when I saw it as a student and was captivated by the story. It's all speculation, of course, because Barabbas is one of these characters that, though we find him in the heart of the Bible story of what happens at Easter time, we know nothing of what became of him. But this movie speculated, and it was wonderful speculation, about what might have happened in the life of the man who was released from certain death because Jesus took his place. And it's quite a haunting story in many ways. Barabbas, in the movie at least, goes back to his life of crime, only to discover he's already lost some of his followers because they've been persuaded by the teachings of this Jesus. And every turn in his life, he finds someone who was a follower of Jesus. And if I remember correctly, the movie ends with him eventually having some kind of surrender to Christ as his Lord. It's speculation, and we don't know what happened to him. But what we are thankful for is the way in which his life in the gospel story does give us some more insight into all the events that were taking place at Calvary. That as the build-up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus is taking place, we get these snippets of information about the lives of individuals that help us understand the wholeness of the event of the cross. As someone said of Barabbas, he's the first person who could truly say, "Jesus died for me." Because it was in a very real and physical and legal sense that Barabbas was free because Jesus died for him. There was a very strong truth that is at the heart of the gospel that is represented by the physical and legal events surrounding Barabbas' life. He was a guilty man. In fact, Matthew reminds us that his guilt was one of great notoriety. He was somebody who had been stirring up trouble against the Roman Empire. He was someone who had great followers. He was somebody who was murderous in fulfilling his intentions and his desires. And this person had been captivated. This person had been taken into prison, and this person was facing certain death. We could compare him to some of the terrorists and so-called illegal freedom fighters that we've known in our own history. And the government would be glad to have such a person under lock and key for the safety of their society. And there's no doubt that it was the notoriety of Barabbas that was used in the mind of Pilate to try and free Jesus. If you think about it, Pilate had two other options, because we know there were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus. So it would appear that in the legal system on that day, there were these two thieves. There was this man, Jesus of Nazareth, and there was the notorious Barabbas. And it would appear from Pilate's actions that he was hoping to appeal to some kind of sense of of moral good among the people and say, well, you know, if I offer them Barabbas, then surely they'll let Jesus go free. He was looking for a compromise, as many do when it comes to the issues surrounding the person of Jesus Christ. While I'm focusing mainly on Barabbas, I think we need to take a moment just to remind ourselves of how Pilate represents some of the perplexing issues of spirituality. That somebody who is surrounded with so much evidence about Jesus, his own convictions that this was a good man, his own awareness that people were turning on Jesus out of envy and not out of any righteous conviction. And then he even has his wife warning him about how he's to behave concerning this innocent man, and that she doesn't want him to get into any kind of trouble over Jesus. And his own attempt to wash his hands of Jesus as a kind of protestation of innocence concerning Jesus. And yet ultimately, he bows to the will of those who want to crucify Jesus. And I sometimes think that Pilate is a great representative of many in our world, and many who have grown up under the sound of the gospel and who have heard much of the truth of the gospel, who have heard so much about the reality of the person of Christ, who've even had personal friends and family encourage them concerning the reality of Jesus the Savior. But at the end of the day, the voice of the crowd, the pressure of the world, the call for personal acceptance rather than eternal salvation becomes too great. And rather than submit to Jesus, he releases Barabbas, the murderer, to the crowd. Pilate is a great challenge. His attempts to do the right thing without ever really committing to truth. And then Barabbas, or a completely different character. Someone who is rightfully condemned. Someone who is heading to certain death. Then all of a sudden, he discovers that he has freedom. What an amazing experience it must have been for him. All his trouble and all his attempts at creating his own army and his own power and his own leadership had come to nothing. He's in the shackles, he's in the dungeon, he's facing death. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes and says to him, Barabbas, you're free to go. How on earth am I free to go? Because the crowd have asked for you to be released so that they can crucify Jesus. Who's Jesus? It must have played on his mind, whoever he really was and whatever really became of him, that he should have restored to him life and freedom. Because a man who never did anyone any harm was put to death by a baying crowd. A crowd that seemed to lose all reason. What a guilt, what has this man done that is wrong? They don't even listen to the questions. They just shout all the louder, crucify him. They don't engage in the conversation. They don't listen to the evidence. Again, like so many in our day, they just shout all the louder from their own position, get rid of him, remove him. And Barabbas goes into this life of freedom. He goes back to a life of whatever he chose to do with it. And it was all because Jesus went to die in his place. There's an old song that we don't sing very much now. Maybe it's with good reason we don't sing it, but I remember the tune. But it was, my shackles are gone, my spirit is free, oh praise the Lord, he lifted me. My sins are forgiven and now I am free. Oh praise the Lord, my shackles are gone, my spirit is free. Because what happens to Barabbas in the natural is what the death of Jesus can do for us in the spiritual. He was physically released from captivity because Jesus was going in his place. And the message of the gospel is that we who are spiritually captive, slaves to sin, bound in darkness, imprisoned by Satan, are released to life and released to freedom and released to fullness because of Jesus. Because Jesus died And while there is the legal implication, and that's the wonderful thing about the cross, that Jesus fulfills a legal requirement as happened here, it's more than that. It's a loving action as well as the legal requirement. He does it in the case of Barabbas through the technicalities of the law. Somebody was to be released, and it turned out that Jesus was taken instead of Barabbas. But when it comes to the fullness of the gospel, it's not just that someone had to die for our sin. It's not just that someone had to be punished for us. It's that someone wanted to do it. That someone loved us enough to do it. Our guilt taken upon him. It's I think one of the most ironic statements in the story, when the crowd shout, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." There was such an arrogance that they were willing to take the guilt for killing this innocent man. And yet the reality of the gospel is that that innocent soul was willing to take the guilt of their soul and of my soul and of your soul to give us hope and to give hope to our children that because he died, we can truly live. Let's pray. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. And we thank you, our God and our Saviour, as we celebrate all that Jesus did for us, that we can say today with the hymn writer that he stood condemned in my place. That he took my guilt, he took my shame, the punishment I deserved he bore. And because of all this, I can live and know fullness and freedom because of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the willingness of dying for us to fulfill all legal requirements concerning a righteous judgment and to reveal the eternally loving heart of God towards his children. So bless us and be with us for the glory of your name. Amen.